Again, welcome. My name's Carrie Fost. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. That could have been my house for sure. With all the dogs. So, but anyway, thank you for being with us. We're going to get started in just a minute or so. So again, appreciate everybody being with us this morning. You know, it's a nice morning, a little cooler. Appreciated the rain last night, that's for sure. It definitely needed some rain, so that was good. So again, I want to thank everybody. I'm going to go ahead and get started. And so again, good morning. Happy July 22nd. Certainly July is zooming by. So welcome to the Tallahassee Tourism, the industry Zoom meeting. And thank you so much for being with us today. From a housekeeping standpoint, I think everybody knows the drill. But please be sure to mute your microphone. It is the lower left with so many folks on the meeting. It's really imperative that we do that so everybody can hear. So again, please mute your microphone. And then when you wish to speak, please unmute your microphone. Again, it really helps eliminate some of the background. And thank you for making time to be with us today. This is our 20th weekly tourism industry meeting, which is really hard to believe. So thank you all for hanging in there with us, because we know as a community and certainly as a tourism industry, we know we are in this together. And when COVID hit, fell together, and we'll get through this together, and to be sure, we will soon rise together. There will absolutely be brighter days ahead, but for right now, this is a very challenging time for both our community, the state, and the country. So as we know, and even the world, global cases of COVID-19 now exceed 14.7 million. In Florida, there are or have been approximately 370,000 positive cases with more than 5,000 deaths. And make no mistake, Florida is now a COVID epicenter. But the trend does seem to be improving. Yesterday was the first day in over a week that there were less than 10,000 new cases a day. So perhaps all this mask wearing might be making a difference. So again, appreciate that and good to see the numbers seem to be improving. The Florida Department of Health is no longer enforcing the governor's executive order that requires travelers from New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut to quarantine for 14 days upon arrival. Governor's order, executive order has been in place now for several months, but now they're not enforcing it. At the checkpoint at Interstate 95 that had been in place at the Florida-Georgia border to screen people closed nearly after 4 months of operation, so that's now closed. And South Florida airports are no longer collecting contact information of passengers. But in stark contrast, now New York is now requiring travelers from 31 states, including Florida, to quarantine for 14 days upon arrival. So again, now it's a in stark contrast, New York is now requiring travelers to quarantine. Want to share some other news at the state level. The Florida High School Athletic Association, FHSAA, you know what, their board of directors recently voted to break from other high school sports governing bodies around the country by allowing fall practices to begin this weekend. The decision counter to the recommendations of the FHSAA Sports Medicine Advisory Committee to indefinitely delay the start of football and volleyball. So they are proceeding. This impacts us here locally because we are scheduled to host the FHSAA State Championships for Cross Country out at Appalachian Regional Park and the Divisions 1A through 3A of football this fall. So again, that definitely impacts us. And as many of you, I'm sure, are aware right now that FAMU football, all FAMU sports, so will not be played. MEAC made the decision there to cancel all the sports again due to COVID-19. We are awaiting what the ACC and FSU, their plans to be announced. There's certainly lots in the works. And so again, that's certainly something for us to look at coming into this fall. with bated breath, holding our breath. According to the Florida Department of Health, there are now more than 3,200 positive cases here in Tallahassee and Leon County, and that there have been 84 current or past hospitalizations. Many hospitals around the state are at capacity. However, locally, our hospitalization numbers have declined. And so according to reports from local hospitals, all remain well-stocked with PPE, with ample ventilators and bed capacity. And both Capital Regional Medical Center and Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare continue to work to add additional COVID treatment capacity should it be required. Capital Regional did determine this week to stop elective surgeries. Just in case they needed the capacity to handle any surge if needed. We now also have three local COVID testing centers. And the testing at FAMU's Bragg Stadium continues. The Northwood site, that just opened. That's an extension of the Patient's First testing. And just yesterday, the Home Depot at Northwest, they have opened up their walk-up testing site, and that's run by the state of Florida. So they're all walk-up testing. You don't need doctor's orders or symptoms, anything like that. And for some really good news, y'all may have heard the rumblings. They seem to be making great progress working towards a vaccine for COVID-19. I heard several encouraging reports this week from a couple of manufacturers that are really kind of out in front, and then the preliminary testings are showing really encouraging results. So there is hope for maybe a vaccine in the fall. So fingers and toes crossed on that. I also want to continue to share that OEB still is providing free cloth masks to any business for their staff and patrons. You can receive up to 100 masks. All you got to do is just go in and say, I need masks. And so you can pick it up at the Office of Economic Vitality. And that is at 315 South Calhoun Street from 9 to 5. Literally just walk right in. You don't need an appointment. But you can pick up masks. They come in packets of 100 from any of the three chambers of commerce here locally. So again, please take advantage of that while you can. They have just brought in more shipments of it. So again, it's available to you for your businesses and for your staff and for your patrons. And as of today, I believe Publix and Winn-Dixie are now requiring shoppers to wear face masks. So yay for that. Because as we all know, masks do prevent infection rates, and they provide the personal safety. So please wear a mask when you are in public places. Really, it's not too much to mask. So sharing a few other updates this week, the country lost not one, but two civil rights icons, and both lost on the same day. C.T. Vivian and Congressman John Lewis, both lieutenants of Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, both of these giants were freedom riders who took part in the Selma, Alabama demonstrations. They participated in the 1963 March on Washington, where Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech. I mean, these gentlemen led a life of service pursuing justice and equality. And the country and the state, and certainly our community, is still pursuing those rights to these days. And again, two truly civil rights icons, leaders in our country that truly changed the trajectory of America. So again, big loss there. Protests continue in our community. They're continuing around the state and the country. As we know, the peaceful protests and the art demonstrations are about equity and justice and equality. Black Lives Matter, and it is up to all of us to stand against racism and discrimination and injustice wherever it exists. So in this moment in time, you can make a difference. So let change begin today and with each of us. Also, please keep in mind that all restaurants, bars, nightclubs, small businesses, attractions, nonprofits, they all continue to struggle right now. So where you can, shop local, do restaurant takeout or curbside, go visit a local attraction, do what you can do to support our local businesses. So in this evolving COVID pandemic, we're certainly all still learning every week, every day. And these weekly industry meetings are provided to share learning, to share knowledge, and to share support for each other and our community, because we know we are stronger together, and together we will get through this. So as we do every week, we have several outstanding guest speakers with us today. So we're going to hear from them, and then we're going to open up the meeting to hear from you, from everybody. So first on deck this morning will be Jimmy Carr. Really excited to have him with us. He's a proud FSU grad, certainly works as a very savvy governmental relations professional, but how we know him and work with him very closely is he is the president of the Tallahassee Mountain Biking Association, otherwise known as TIMBA. And so he'll tell us a little bit about that. He was a great partner with us, Visit Tallahassee, and the sports team working on the community's IMBA designation. But also, so again, he's been just a terrific partner. So we're going to hear from Jimmy. Then we're going to hear from Betsy Couch with KCCI. She's going to talk about a mobile bike rack campaign. You'll recall we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. She kind of gave us a teaser about this new program that they launched to begin moving this rack around, traveling to lesser known trails to encourage riders to check out, find the rack and check out the trail. So she's going to talk a little bit more about that. Last and certainly not least, we're going to hear from Danny Aller. A little over 2 years ago, two friends co-founded the Tallahassee Beer Society. This is a grassroots initiative promoting Tallahassee's breweries. You also can read his columns in the Tallahassee Democrat. Again, it's been just, again, a terrific partner with us in helping to promote the Tallahassee's awesome craft breweries. So Danny Aller and Matthew Krumbaker, they're passionate about keeping locals informed about everything our area's craft breweries have cooking, or brewing, if you will. So in addition to the Brew Society, they also run the Tallahassee, which offers public and private tours to North Florida and South Georgia's craft brewery. So, you know, we have kind of a theme going today of bicycling or cycling and beer, you know, because they just go together. I mean, of course, not at the same time. But anyway, it's going to be a fun morning. We've got three great speakers, so we're going to start it off with Jimmy, and then turn it over to Betsy, and then over to Danny. So, Jimmy, thank you very much for being with us this morning. Really appreciate your partnership.
Thank you for having me, and I do thank you as well for your partnership, because, you know, I think Visit Tallahassee has been our biggest cheerleader for about the past 3 years, and Joe and Amanda and the rest of your team have just, you know, gone out of their way really to help us with everything that we have going on. And obviously as a local 501c3 that's volunteer based, being able to tap into your guys' professional resources has been huge for us. Cause you guys are just, you know, consummate pros over there. So thank you for all you've done. And as for beer, sometimes I wonder, do I drink to ride or ride to drink? I'm not quite sure, but the two do definitely go hand in hand. Beer is probably the most important thing to the mountain biking community other than trails and bikes. So interested to hear what Danny has to say. But a little bit about TIMBA. Been around for about 15 years. We are a chapter of the International Mountain Biking Association, which is obviously international, has tens of thousands of members around the globe. And we also are a chapter of what's called SORBA, the Southern Off-Road Bicycle Association, which is 46 chapters similar to us in 9 southern states. We're proud of our, you know, of our partnerships with both of those organizations as well. They as well have professional staff that are always ready to assist us. So it's a great resource for us. You know, really all we're trying to do is, you know, create, enhance, and preserve Tallahassee as a great place to mountain bike. You know, ultimately, and we've talked about this when we visit Tallahassee, you know, there's no reason that Tallahassee shouldn't be the winter riding destination of the entire Southeast. Mountain bikers travel. They get very, you know, very, very bored with what they have locally, and they're always going somewhere, and everyone around here is just like that. We travel to North Carolina. We travel to Arkansas. Next month, I'm going to Utah and Colorado for, 11 days with eight guys here locally. So there's a lot of money that can be spent on mountain bike ecotourism, and there's no reason that we shouldn't be getting a good portion of that, especially in the winter months when you can ride here and a lot of places you can't ride up north. So it's thanks again for all you guys are doing to help us promote that. COVID has impacted us as well. We had our first ever Tallahassee Trail Festival was going to be scheduled for March of this year, and it was going to bring 250 riders in from all over. And it was going to be our chance to really showcase what we've done here over the past few years. And I'll talk about that in a second, what we've done. But it was a real loss for us. Thankfully, we didn't lose any money on it, and all of our vendors that we had already kind of put deposits in, allowed us to carry it over to next year, because this will be an annual event. But we were disappointed. I think we were about a week away from hosting it when the city shut it down. So we were one of the first things that got cut. But that was, again, we were going to be camping in Tom Brown Park, 250 people. There was also going to be a bunch of people staying in hotels, which, of course, we know everyone likes. And, of course, people are going to be doing a lot of other things as well, spending money in this community. So we look forward to hosting that again next year. It'll be in March. I'm sure you'll see plenty of information on that in the coming months. We've also had to cancel, just our regular, club activities, our group rides, our work days. We did shift to monthly, our monthly meeting over to virtual just like this, which has actually been pretty cool and gotten a lot more participation than we do normally do when we do them in person. So we're going to try to figure out a way to maybe blend the two. I think doing an in-person meeting is important, but having the ability to tune in virtually brings in a lot of people, and we didn't quite realize the power that has. So we are back to our work days, though. You might see us at least once a month out on the trails working. This time of year is our growing season, rain, heat, everything's growing really fast. If we're not out there trimming back the trails, no one else is doing it, and it's just not going to get done. So our organization puts in thousands of hours of volunteer time on our trails every year. So we're really proud of all the work we do there. The one probably positive thing for COVID in the biking community is the bike shops. They are booming. They've probably all reached 2019 revenue levels in probably just the first 4 or 5 months of the year. You can't even buy a bike under $1,500 right now. They come in and they immediately get sold. They just cannot keep up with the demand, and biking has exploded with everyone staying at home and trying to get more active and go out. And it's evident when you go out on the trails, you just see plenty of new people. I've never seen our trails more crowded, so that's really good. A little bit about what we've done in the past few years. We've helped advocate and get probably about 15 miles of our single track trails out on city property rehabilitated. We advocate for professionally designed and built trails. It's an art and a science. We know what we can do. We can maintain them, but it is always best to have a professional build them. They build them so they're sustainable, that they move the water, all of the things that need to be contemplated when you're building a trail. And when they're done right, they'll last about 10 years. So we did have a professional come back in and rehab 15 miles of trail. And they also built 5 new miles of trail. If any of you have been out to the new Alford Greenway trails, there's 3 new trails out there. It's about 5 miles total, and they're awesome. I was just talking with Lee Davis from the county yesterday, giving her all the really just phenomenal feedback from everyone. I haven't heard anyone say a negative thing about those trails. So it's really, really great to have those. But we've also stepped up as a club in those projects. Not the county one at Alford. They did pay for that, which was great. But the two city rehab projects, we stepped up and have contributed almost $30,000 to keep the trail builders here working additional time. We paid for 2 weeks in the last year and a half to keep the trail builders who were here. We just ran out of time and ran out of money with the city, and we stepped up and we dipped into our coffers, and we've contributed $30,000. So, we're not always asking. We're helping, and we look at our relationship as a partnership for sure. So what we have on the horizon, Carrie mentioned it, it's the Imber Ride Center designation. And actually, when we canceled the Tallahassee Trail Festival that same week, IMBA was supposed to be here doing their initial assessment of our trails. The IMBA Ride Center is essentially, it's like the good housekeeping seal of approval for your trail system. It says this is worth your time, your money, and your effort to come here. The trails are worth it. And that's really important to get. It's very marketable. I know when I go to new places, I'm always searching for what the nearest timber ride center is, because you know the work's already been done. You don't have to say, oh, I wonder if this is a good place to go ride and go exploring. If IMBA's designated it, it's worth it. So it's going to be really important for us to get that. I think right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, but I think IMBA's scheduled to come back in November to do that initial assessment. They'll come in. Maybe we score high enough. Maybe there's some things that we need to improve upon, and they'll point those out, and we'll fix them, and then they'll come back again. But I'm really confident we're going to get them. We're going to get the designation. We have 100 miles of single track within 10 miles of downtown. We are a trail town, and it's probably, you notice it. You see all the bike racks when you drive around town. I mean, this is a very low-key biking community ready to explode. I think that's good for everyone. And as a component of the ride center designation, they don't just look at your trails. They look at a lot of other things. They look at the restaurants. They look at the brewery scene. Are there hotels that offer amenities to bikers, a bike rack, a bike wash station, tools? Will they give you preference for first floor rooms if it's a multi, floor hotel, for ease of getting your bike in? Will they provide bike storage? All of those things are contemplated in the ride center designation. So, there is a lot that other folks need to do as well to help this cause along. So I'm sure Visit Tallahassee, I know, has been, letting their partners know the things that they can do to help this out. I know that. So, ultimately, when you get the ride center, I mean, you're essentially a model trail community, and you're going to have a trail based economy. People are going to come. They already do. I mean, if you ever go out to the trails and just query people, and I'm weird, I stop and talk to people all the time. I'm always figuring out if you live here, and if you live here, why aren't you a member of the club if you aren't? So, a third of the people I encounter are not from here. They're coming over from Jacksonville. They're coming from South Georgia. They're coming from the Panhandle. Lots of military people coming from all the military bases out west of us. So, we are already drawing people in, and the IMBA Ride Center is just gonna blow that up. A couple other things that are going on that are really cool. There's an organization called NICA, the National Interscholastic Cycling Association. They run middle and high school racing leagues. Around, I think 30 states have leagues. Florida got their first league. Florida got a league last year, had one event, and then COVID shut it down. But we have a team here locally that will be competing. We have some really exciting news I can't quite share yet, but there's a major sponsor of this team because of the this team is going to be focused on diversity. I think it's going to be based out of Rickards. There's a major bike company that is interested in sponsoring the team due to those, the goals and the mission of this club. So, that's really exciting. And of course, growing the sport, starting with kids is the way to go. Also, we're at Timbo, we're also working on a kids initiative, trying to just get younger kids on bikes, and that's still coming together, but we're going to be partnering with the NICA team and trying to, make one, they should go hand in hand. And we've worked with Betsy at KCCI because they're doing a lot of great things for kids and with their Market Street project and their project at Table Palm, and she'll talk about all those, I'm sure. But it's just an exciting time for biking here locally. We are about to explode, and we're really excited about that. There's always a bunch of races that come to town that, of course, bring people. The Florida Championship Series is a two-day event that comes usually in September. I don't know what the plan is this year now, but they bring 200-300 people to town for 2-3 nights at a time, and that's a great one. We have a new company that's coming to bring an endurance race. They're like 6-hour races. So you just go as far as you can, do as many loops of a lapse of a loop as you can in 3 or 6 hours. So that's an outfit out of North Georgia that is going to be bringing that to town, and that should bring a lot of people in as well. We're just trying to really grow the sport everywhere we can. There's a pump track event coming. Most of you have probably seen the pump track out of Tom Brown Park. It's amazing. We have Red Bull, trying to bring an event here, which is, it's a world-class event. And if we can pull it off, it's going to be phenomenal. Again, just trying to get as much trail as we can. We've been working out in Chattahoochee. We've been working out in Marianna to not only grow the sport here locally, but also grow it along the I-10 corridor. Because really, this could be a you know, really just a corridor of, you know, multiple daily trips. You know, you hit Mariana one day, Chattahoochee the next, Tallahassee for a couple, then go down to Santos, then go down to Tampa. There's riding all over the state, and you could really, really draw people in and get those tourism dollars that we're seeking. So I could talk about bikes all day long. So that's about all I got. But if any questions, happy to answer them. If anyone has any.
Jimmy, I appreciate all your comments and again your partnership. I'd like to ask Joe Petrowski to jump in, way in here a little bit, and maybe even share an update on Timba, because I know we were IMBA. I'm sorry, the designation, because I know we were originally planning to have it come out in the spring, and then now that where we are. But maybe just to talk real briefly again, and to Joe, and again on the partnership and how great your organization has been. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll obviously be brief. Jimmy was quite thorough and covered quite a few initiatives that, you know, we've obviously partnered from a tourism aspect with that and did a great job with it. The IMBA designation right now, again, of course, because of COVID, as Carrie was mentioning, has been pushed from what we're trying to do during the spring to November. Right now we're penciled in to have them come out early November. We're still trying to work with them. They're just like everybody else. The organization has a travel hold right now on their people that would come and give their viewpoints of the community. But I've been in constant contact with them, and they're thinking November is still going to be quite feasible. So, you know, that designation, as Jimmy was saying, is really going to solidify the community's mountain biking and put Tallahassee on the proverbial map, so to speak. And obviously, that couldn't have happened without Timba's partnership and honestly leadership in this, because really it completely started first off with Jimmy sitting down in my office and saying, hey, here's a brochure, we should take a look at this. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure, we'll take a look at it. And then, you know, upon further inspection, it turns out it's going to be a fantastic thing that is really going to give us, you know, something great to market in this community and just have a constant flow of tourism coming to the community because of it. So we're really looking forward to it. I've learned so much more about mountain biking than I ever thought I would through this process. It's actually, you guys aren't aware, we're going on almost, I think it's about 2.5 years, Jimmy, almost 3 years it's taken us to get to this point. But IMBA themselves are blown away with everything we've sent already with the application. And a lot of that, they speak highly of the trails, but what IMBA really speaks highly of is our community and the way the community has really adopted mountain biking, and how our restaurants and hotels and everybody that makes a mountain biking trip good really comes together and shows the respect to the sport that they feel it deserves in our community. So again, mountain biking is a great asset for our community. It's a great tourism asset. It's a fantastic asset for locals. So if you haven't gone out and tried to ride, you know, please do. If you can rent a bike, because obviously you can't purchase one right now. But, you know, when this all passes, you know, get out on the trails. And I know for a fact, Timba would be happy to have you on their guided rides and help you break into the sport. So again, thank you, Jimmy, for all you do. And thank you to all the Timba members for all that they've done.
Sure. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions for Jimmy?
Russ? Jimmy, I'm Russell Dawes, Tallahassee Museum. You were talking about the value of professionally designed and constructed bike trails, which sounds wonderful. Is there an approximate cost per mile for that kind of process?
Yeah, they usually price it by foot. But to put it in perspective, I think the county spent nearly $200,000 on 5 miles out at Alford. And I think there were a lot of challenges there and a lot of permitting things and someone had to go out there and dig 303-foot holes and do an archaeological survey. And I mean, it was, so there's a lot of cost. Hopefully some places you can avoid and some places you can't. But I think that the short answer is about $5 or $6 a foot.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, dependent upon the terrain, but sure, That'd be a good average.
Thank you.
Great. Any other questions for Jimmy. Again, Jimmy, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Really appreciate you and your organization and all you do for our community. Thank you very much. And so now I want to, for a return engagement from Betsy Couch with KCCI. She spoke a couple of weeks ago on the Market District project, which we are super excited about, and Stable Palm Elementary, which is awesome. But now we're going to hear a little bit more about the Traveling Bike Rack program. So, Betsy, thank you again for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Carrie. And also, I have to say huge thanks to Jimmy Card and Timba, because as our KCCI team set out this year to work on how do we improve cycling safety and how can we also raise awareness of some of our existing infrastructure and amazing trails that we already have, Timba has been such a resource and been a guiding light to kind of help guide us in the right direction. So it was so good to see Jimmy's face today, because he has really been such a great resource for us. But I won't go into detail of all the different projects we're doing, since I know you guys all heard that a couple weeks ago when we gave our big presentation. But as Carrie mentioned, you know, we're really set forward with kind of a threefold agenda. One was, how can we build like a safety park for kids? And that is happening right now at Sable Palm Elementary School. I'm literally going to go there and be painting right after this. And then the other thing we were looking at is, how can we have a destination bike park, which, as we have talked to other communities all around the country, every single one of them has said that if they put in more bike parks and different kind of multi-skills, kind of mountain biking spaces, they vastly see the huge economic impacts. And I think it also ties right in with our IMBA designation. And so we're looking to do that destination bike park. Just for any of you that might have missed it 2 weeks ago, that will be up near the Market District. And the reason we picked that site is because of its close proximity to I-10 and 319, so ease of access. And then also because of the connectivity. There are so many amazing trails that connect right from that point. And so it really could be a central hub, but also a place that we could have educational signage and marketing signage that would help people kind of lead out into other parts of our community to see different trails that are offered. So that is in process. That probably honestly wouldn't be built for years down the road, because it's part of a blueprint initiative if it gets to move forward. But in the meantime, we have Sable Palm going on. And as Carrie mentioned, we have the Traveling Bike Rack. So the idea with the Traveling Bike Rack was, it started in May, during which is National Cycling Month. And so we kind of used it to just raise awareness of the existing trails. We found that it was so popular, we've extended it into June and July. And some of the small stars that you can see on the screen are some of the different trails it's gone to. It has been wonderful in a couple ways. One, it shows the need, because as we've gone to move it each week, we have realized people literally have their bike chained up to the bike rack, and we've had to kind of wait for people to come back. And we've realized, because people oftentimes are going to go cycling some places, but then they want to get off and they might want to go for a little walk too. So we're using that information and that data to share with the planning department of places where they probably should put additional bike racks in. Now, though, what we wanted to share with you all today is, we would love to, if anyone is interested, we would like to take it out and let it go to top kind of tourism sites around the community, or even hotels. And it's not very large. It's about 5 feet by 2.5 feet deep. So it really could sit on a sidewalk. It could sit by the entrance of an attraction. And the idea is, what we would do is, we would kind of promote it at that location for that week. And then you might be able at your entity to see if there's any usage surrounding it. So if you're interested in taking part of this, please email one of our KCCI community catalysts, Beau Courtney, and his email is at the bottom of the screen. It's at uscgobo@gmail.com. And our idea is that after this, probably this campaign will end probably within by September, we will then be installing the rack somewhere around our community through one of the sites where we've kind of deemed it most necessary. So that's really what we have going on. I just have to, again, say thank you to Timba and to Carrie Post, because we really do. Once I even, of course, every year I work on different projects that enhance economic development and economic vitality. And really, until I started working and honing in on this cycling project this year, I really didn't realize just how many world-class amenities and assets we already have existing right here in Leon County. It's really pretty incredible.
Thank you, Bessie. It is exciting. So how is, so the email is the place to reach out to reach out to Bo and say, hey, if a hotel or a museum or something like that wanted to, attraction wanted to host it there, they would just reach out to Bo. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes.
Great. Well, super. Anybody have any questions for Bessie? So Jen, thank you so much for being with us, and you and KCCI is such a tremendous asset to this community. And of course, you and I go way back. So it's always a pleasure to work with you. Thank you so much for being with us this morning to talk about the traveling bike rack. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Carrie. It's fun.
Thank you. Okay. And then we have, of course, next up is Danny Aller. So thank you so much with the Tallahassee Beer Society and the Tallahassee Brewbus.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for the invite on, and really appreciate what y'all are doing weekly here to kind of keep people updated on what's happening around town. I've been on the call a couple of times just as an observer, and really think it's great, kind of the communication line that's been extended here to, you know, all the local businesses and organizations who, you know, are trying to battle through all this. We're obviously one of them. The Beer Society started in 2017. We saw when we had five breweries, we kind of needed somebody to sort of aggregate, you know, all of the content about our breweries. We saw other cities around Florida had beer societies, and we thought, you know, now with five breweries, we need, you know, kind of a megaphone, you know, somebody to get behind the megaphone and really, you know, scream loud and proud how good the beer is here. And shout out to Deontay. I love the background, man. I miss that truth tasting room right there, I'll tell you that. I was just there yesterday picking up some to-go beer, and saw Angela and saw Byron walking around. And, you know, it's just kind of sad to see, you know, such a beautiful space like that not being utilized right now. You know, hopefully, I think I'll get to this in a minute. I think there's some things that are coming soon that are probably going to allow them to reopen outside pretty soon, I think. Places without outside seating anyways will probably get a bit of a reprieve here from what I'm hearing. But I mean, you know, things right now are kind of strange in the craft beer community. The breweries are really, really struggling a lot, not just here in Tallahassee, but across the state. You know, it's the latest order to shut down breweries and bars, and the unfortunate classification with breweries being considered bars here in the state has really left a lot of them in limbo. The last thing that I did, you know, out in person, any kind of in-person event that the Beer Society did, was actually with Scott down at Tampa at the Florida Brewers Guild Festival. And I can remember, you know, going into that week, you know, asking, I mean, things were just kind of starting to sort of heat up a little bit. You started to sort of, you know, the first positive case had been actually down in Hillsborough County where we were having the festival at. Visit Tallahassee was the title sponsor of that. So it was one of those things where, unless the Florida Brewers Guild called it off, the event was still going to go on. And I remember talking to Scott during the week and saying, you know, is there any concern at all, like with this thing, you know, are they thinking about canceling it? And he's like, nah, as far as I know, it's going off, you know, as planned. But that was March 7th. And as we know, kind of, you know, all hell broke loose by March 14th, the following week. And I think if we knew then what we know now, that festival might not have happened because there was basically nothing happening after that. They canceled Hunapu Day down in Tampa, which was the following weekend, biggest craft beer festival in Florida every year, one of the biggest in the country every year. That was one of those things where when that happened, I think everyone sort of, you know, opened up their eyes and said, okay, wow, this is really serious. And any in-person event that's scheduled for the next couple of months probably needs to go ahead and plan to not happen. Obviously the SGI Brewfest down in April, which is their big fundraiser every year for the Franklin County Humane Society, that was postponed until October. Unfortunately, I don't think that event may not happen either at this stage right now with the spike in the cases. Things September, August, October just don't look really, really great right now at the moment for holding big gatherings, but we'll see. You know, they haven't made an official announcement yet, but I fear that it may be coming. Once the initial kind of shock wore off, the breweries obviously saw a big decrease in their tasting room sales. A lot of people were concerned about going out, you know, worried about going out, and rightfully so. And the breweries basically stayed open as long as they possibly could until that first order came from the governor to shut everything down. They quickly adapted. And I would say Tallahassee probably did it better than almost any other city in the entire state. They had quickly adapted all of their models to the online and curbside sales, which, I mean, personally, I really love. And I think it's probably going to stay after this. I think they've discovered sort of a business model that is sustainable. Even when everything kind of goes back to normal, I think it's really, really been something that people have enjoyed. You can go online, you can place your order, you can pull up, you can grab it, you can go. Not everybody has time to go into the tasting room or stand in line and everything. So I think they really adapted well. Proof, Lake Tribe, Ology, and Deep all launched online ordering systems almost overnight. They did it through Square, which made it very, very easy for some of these businesses to put together sort of an online ordering system. And they did really, really well. And I would say for the first, month or so, month and a half after the first order came, I'm not going to say they were, their business was through the roof, but they were doing very, very well. They were moving a lot of beer. A lot of beer that they had ready to sell in the tasting room was now being put into cans and crowlers, and people were really supporting the local breweries heavily. When they started the phase one of reopening and it allowed the restaurants to reopen and go at 25% capacity, the brewery started to see a dip in their sales because then people could actually go to the restaurants and get back out and consume, alcohol at the restaurant. So there was less of a need to kind of get it to go and keep it home. So the sales started to kind of dip there a little bit. And then obviously in phase two, they were allowed to reopen. The breweries were, as long as they had a food truck available or some sort of food. So in Proof's case, they had proper there, right in house. They were able to kind of, safely operate. That only went on for about 3 weeks, as everybody knows, by now. And then they shut them back down again sometime in the middle of June. And right now, I mean, the industry is in a bit of a tailspin. I mean, all these places that got PPP money, that has started to run out, unfortunately. Some of the places that did not get PPP and were hoping, for sort of an upswing again, they're sort of now back on the decline in terms of sales. And, and at this point now, it doesn't appear to be any real news soon that this is going to change. And so we've kind of gone on, and I talked about this. We have a new intern coming on pretty soon and was kind of talking to her about some things that we're going to work on. And I told her it's kind of a real weird time for the Beer Society because a lot of what we do is, getting people to, the new beer that comes out, getting them to go out there and try it, holding in-person events, our charity bottle shares that we're doing pretty consistently for the last couple of years. Those have obviously all been shelved. It's just kind of a weird time. It's like, where do we fit into all of this? What can the Beer Society, do to, encourage people to continue to support your local breweries, but also do it safely at the same time? I mean, I have two young kids. I'm not really going out to breweries and tasting rooms right now, even if they are reopened. I'm still kind of playing it safe. So there's sort of like that, moral compass with me going on. It's like, how much do we encourage people to go out? At the same time, I'm not really going out very much, but I want people to continue to support the breweries. We kind of started to get on a hill of, supporting local now is more important than ever. And it's a hashtag that we've been using in a lot of our posts over the last, few weeks. I wrote a column about it about a month ago. We have a biweekly column in the Tallahassee Democrat called the Around the Brew Bend Report, kind of like around the Big Bend, but around the brew bends. And, it was one of those things that I kind of just felt compelled to kind of make a plea to everybody that we're going to lose some of these breweries. I don't know if it's necessarily Tallahassee or across the state. We have 384 breweries in Florida right now, and some of the projections see that number cut in half if things don't change really soon. And that would be really, really sad to see an industry that's, built up over the last 10 years. And I think according to the Brewers Association, brought in $3.8 billion of revenue last year, overall. And to see something like that just kind of be cut in half because of situation that they're in, you know, people being concerned about going out and everything. So, you know, they're in a tough spot right now. We really just want to impart on everybody that, you know, buying from the grocery stores is fine. It's much better to buy from the breweries themselves directly. You kind of cut out that middleman with the distributor. The breweries are making more money when they do that. And, you know, the go model is going to be half to what's going to have to sustain them for now, unfortunately. And, you know, hopefully it'll change pretty soon. After that column, we kind of decided, you know, this is sort of what our role is right now. It's like, let's sort of, you know, push the issue of what's going on with the breweries in Florida, you know, where people can help and what needs to change. And so in addition to sort of the, you know, supporting local now is more important than ever, you know, mantra that we've been screaming for the last month and a half, and encouraging everyone to, you know, not just buy beer, but go ahead and buy a gift card if you can from these breweries, you know, something that'll give them some money now that you can spend later, you know, buy swag, you know, buy shirts, buy glasses, things like that. In addition to having the beer, we all want the beer that we can drink now, obviously, which is great to have. But, you know, and I think the breweries did see a nice little uptick in sales for about a week or so. But the fact that the restaurants have continued to be able to remain open, and I don't say that with any animosity, like, well, the restaurant should be shut down too. I think if you're going to let the restaurant stay open, you should probably find a way to let the breweries stay open as well, and make sure that you're doing some real heavy enforcement. And so that's sort of the latest issue that we've tackled now. The lightning rod of this entire thing has been a guy named Halsey Bashir. He is the secretary for the Department of Business and Professional Regulations. He's the one who's been, you know, it's essentially his call. Governor DeSantis, I think, sort of described him as the grim reaper of everyone's, you know, food and beverage license in the state of Florida. And he does hold the key to a lot of, you know, what's happening here with the breweries. So we reached out to him last week and asked if he would come on our ESPN radio show, not expecting that he would say yes. And he did say yes. And so that interview aired last week. We are normally a half an hour show every Saturday mornings at 9:30 a.m. on ESPN 97.9. ESPN gave us a 90-minute show that week to interview Halsey. And also our first guest was somebody who kind of set up Halsey's interview, which is a guy named Pete Anderson. He's an owner of a brewery over in Sebastian, Florida. And he is sort of pushing the reform on craft beer laws right now. And the number one thing is being to allow these breweries to self-distribute and sort of cut out the distributor and the middleman. So they can make a little bit more money on their kegs when they're sending them out. And also, you know, if there's a local place here in town, they don't have to send their beer off to like Orlando or Ocala and then have it brought back to Tallahassee. So he's pushing that. We had him write a guest column, first guest column that we've ever done in the Democrat last week. I encourage everybody to go read it to kind of understand exactly where the breweries are right now. It's at Tallahassee.com, and it was in the limelight section last week as well. And Pete just really brought up a lot of good points about how, you know, this three-tier system that breweries are involved in started in the 1930s after Prohibition. And Florida is one of the only states in all this time that has not updated or adapted those laws at all. And it's really, really hurting the craft beer industry. And so, you know, in addition to Pete sort of making this plea for these laws to change, also it would be great if they would allow these breweries to be able to deliver. It would be great if they would allow these breweries to ship, because I can, you know, name several breweries, and I'm sure Joe and Deontay and Jimmy all could too, around the state, that if we were allowed to order online and get the beer shipped to us, I'd probably have a box from, you know, Hidden Springs and Cigar City in my driveway every week. So, you know, being able to do that and sort of open these laws up a little bit to help these breweries is something that we're really, really focused on right now. And so, you know, having Halsey come on the show and talk to us about that was really a big get, I think, for us and for Tallahassee. The interview's been being talked about, you know, among breweries all over the state now for the last few days. If you want to listen to it or missed it, you can listen to it anytime at ESPNTallahassee.com/TLHbeer, and it's episode 97. So, again, ESPNTallahassee.com/TLHbeer, episode 97. And this was really Halsey's first comments publicly in a matter of months. Everything he had been putting out there had come on Twitter, which was really, you know, upsetting some of the breweries and saying, you know, look, we're getting all this news from, you know, his own personal Twitter posts. You know, we're not even hearing this from DBPR. We also, you know, need some clarity on what some of this stuff means. But to his credit, he came on and he answered the firing squad for 50 minutes. He sat there and really discussed everything, explained why restaurants were open in his mind, why breweries needed to continue to be closed, and sort of some ideas of what breweries could do in the meantime to kind of keep themselves going. So it was a really good interview. I think, you know, we probably could have pressed him harder on a few things, but I think in general, just to be able to have him on record, say a few things, you know, about where things are at now and where he sees them going, getting them on record, you know, when a legislative session comes around and some of these things start to get changed, hopefully, you know, we've got those comments and those thoughts on record. He's not a fan of the lifetime contracts that breweries have to sign with distributors. And he also would like to try to do some things, I think, to help them, you know, continue to stay viable as well. So that's sort of where we're at right now. I mean, we're really advocating for, you know, some of these changes to happen, really advocating for our breweries to be able to get open again in some capacity. And like I said at the top of the call, I think that'll probably happen. I think they're probably going to do an amendment to the order at some point that'll allow places like bars and breweries that have outdoor seating, like Lake Tribe, obviously Proof, and obviously Beat. You know, they'd be a good spot to kind of start with and let people, you know, kind of get out there in the open air and enjoy some beers again. But it's just a really weird time at the moment. And I really hope that, you know, these breweries can sustain themselves with the to-go orders. And I would tell everybody on the call today, like, you know, please put in an order if you can at some point, even if it's a six pack here or there. Those six packs add up over time. It makes a really, really big difference in the brewery's bottom line. And, you know, we're also trying to put together some things here at the Beer Society where we're going to go to other markets like Jacksonville and Gainesville, where we have good connections with people, and ask them if they would, you know, like to order some Tallahassee beer. And if they could put in a really, really big order over here for our Tallahassee breweries, then we as the Beer Society could actually legally make that, you know, delivery over to Jacksonville or Gainesville and drop that beer off to people. It's essentially like being a proxy. You know, they put their orders in, everybody pays for it, and we're just essentially sort of the delivery vehicle. So we're going to try to help bring some more business to our local breweries here through that. And we've also been doing these things called Epic Beer Runs to our outer area breweries, like Southern Fields, Halpatter, Oyster City. And so we've done sort of the same thing. Everybody here in Tallahassee puts in an order. We then pick it up and, you know, at these breweries out of town, and we try to bring it back in to get everybody, you know, the day trips have kind of gone down. I mean, no one's really taking a lot of day trips right now to these breweries. And so we want to try to, you know, not forget about our Tallahassee area breweries at the same time. So, and I know you mentioned the brew bus at the top. There's not really a ton to report there. The last event we did was actually the same weekend that I was down in Tampa with Scott. We ran a trip down to the St. George Island Chili Cook-Off. And that was it after that. You know, the brew bus model is not very viable at the moment. People don't want to get on a very closed space with strangers and then let their inhibitions go down on top of that. It's just not the time for the brew bus model. I think if we did relaunch this year at some point, we would probably relaunch it only private tours. People who feel comfortable with each other in their groups, they know they've been quarantining, it's family members, whatever it is. But then, of course, you have the situation of where do they go once they get on the bus? We really only have one tasting room open right now in Tallahassee. That's at Deep Brewing. They were able to open under sort of like a gray area. If the breweries can somehow get a restaurant license during all this or, you know, prove that they have some sort of ownership stake in a food truck, they've been able to reopen. But that's really the only stipulation that's allowing them to reopen right now. Lake Tribe has not reopened their tasting room. Ology has not reopened their tasting room. And Proof. Despite the fact that they have a restaurant there in-house, they have not reopened yet because the restaurant license is actually belongs to Proper and not actually Proof. So they don't want to, you know, while they may be able to reopen, I don't think they want to chance it or try to, you know, have a visit from ABT and have people come in there and close them down. So so they're, you know, everyone's kind of playing it safe, just sort of waiting for that next order. And hopefully that's coming soon. I mean, let's be honest. It's been almost a month now. The breweries are struggling. They get most of their revenue from tasting room sales. The to-go model is great for us, but it's not necessarily a terrific for them. So,
Danny, thank you so much for your remarks. Great update. Anybody have any questions for Danny?
I was going to ask Jimmy earlier too. Did the mountain bike event that you guys did with craft beer, is that did that get canceled or postponed?
Yeah, that was the Tallahassee Trail Festival. Okay. So all of the breweries had committed to supporting that, which was going to be great. Because that was our goal, was to, you know, not just highlight our trails, but highlight our local brew scene as well. So
right.
So that'll be next March.
Okay. That's good to know for sure.
Good for you. great work, Danny, and all, you know, working with all the craft breweries around the state to try to change the Tide House Evil laws, you know, the tier system, which, like you said, is so antiquated, but it makes it so tough for craft breweries with that system. So my hats off to you guys for doing that and for working with Secretary Beers. So right now you've got the dialogue, you've got him on record. So congratulations on that. And everybody go support your local craft brewery, go buy some beer. So do it today. So thank you again. I really want to thank Jimmy, Betsy, Danny. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for all you do for the community and for your great partnership with the Visit Tallahassee team. We're here to support you. So again, if there's anything that we can do in your efforts, you know, all you got to do is just reach out. So again, I want to thank you all for being with us this morning and for the great, great updates. Really appreciate it. So now we've just got just a couple minutes. I'll open it up. Does anybody have any other questions or comments or anything they want to share before we wrap up? Okay, well, with that, so again, I want to thank all of our excellent speakers today. Next week, we're going to hear from Russell Dawes, who's the president and CEO of the Tallahassee Museum. He will return as a guest speaker. He's going to be giving us updates on the museum activities, and particularly they held the first live outdoor music event since the beginning of COVID, the Tallahassee Museum Swamp Stomp. And so he is going to be talking with us about how that, conducting that live event and virtual event, as I understand it, following the CDC guidelines and social distancing, and how that all worked with a live music event, a longstanding, excellent event, and certainly a lot of the things they've got going on in the museum, to hear about that. We're also going to hear from Daryl Jones. He is the director of Minority Women and Small Business Enterprise Program with the Office of Economic Vitality, and to talk about some of their programs. And Mark Xenophon, he is the general manager of the brand new, beautiful Hotel Indigo in College Town. So he's the GM, and he's going to be talking about us there. You guys are going to be blown away. It's an incredible property. So excited to see it opening up. So Mark, the GM, is going to be with us next week to share some highlights with us on that. So again, we know these are just crazy, uncertain times, but there are brighter days ahead. Please remember there's a great need for blood donations and for blood plasma for previous COVID survivors. So please consider donating if you can. Please continue to be safe, be smart, masks. Remember, it's not too much to mask. And thank you again for being with us this morning, all of our speakers, and we'll see you next week. So have a great rest of your week.